Healthcare is an issue, like all the issues that are taken up by the human rights community, where lives hang in the balance, and where our core values, the values of all of us in this room, are in a very real sense tested, where our responses determine whether we're complicitous in the kind of abuse and inequality that leads to diminished lives, threats to basic dignity, and in far too many cases, death, or whether we are among those that are going to challenge the abuse and seek and fight for the just solution. Healthcare is that kind of issue. We know that 20,000 people a year die in our country because they don't have access to health insurance. We know that we have an underperforming healthcare system due to our lack of commitment to it, and 101,000 people die each year as a result of that. Over a decade, that's a million of our people. It is a serious human rights crisis that we're only beginning to grapple with now. And only now has the human rights community started to speak up as vigorously and as insistently as it needs to. We're launching a coalition, Amnesty International, the National Economic and Social Rights Initiative, the Opportunity Agenda, and the National Health Law Program, representing domestic and international groups that are going to be asking national leaders not to add the notion of human rights to the debate around healthcare, but to change the debate, to change the questions they're asking, because right now it is not a debate that is grounded in human rights. And what does that mean, a debate grounded in human rights? Well, the Universal Declaration that founded the modern human rights system transformed and created the world's vision of rights. It wasn't about the government's responsibility to follow its own law anymore. No, it was a radical departure, a radical leap forward, in a sense, for human morality. Rights were established as something global, something that transcended those national laws and inhered in each person by virtue of being human. Nothing more, nothing less. Of course, this was in part to ensure that something like the legally sanctioned genocide in Germany would never, ever be seen as a legitimate exercise of government authority anywhere. But it also meant that rights were no longer viewed as things that government shouldn't do. The Universal Declaration changed that. It revisioned rights as something that was deeply embedded in human relationships. Out of this notion that rights must be seen in relationship and not merely as a shield against certain interference, economic and social rights were born. And this is a hugely important notion, that rights are born out of relationships, and that in fact we owe each other something. How many of you have read this week's New Yorker piece on isolation as a form of torture? The article describes how we deprive prisoners here of human contact for months, sometimes years. And although we don't touch them, hit them, abuse them verbally, they fall apart, physically and mentally. They bang their heads against the wall. They have psychotic delusions. They literally fall apart. And all because we left them alone. We are profoundly social beings. And it is absolutely necessary that we now have this concept that rights are born out of human relationships. They're really fundamentally about social inclusion and exclusion. Who we see as worthy, whether we really see people as all having equal worth. The genocide was the ultimate expression of social exclusion, of rejecting the notion that every person had equal worth and dignity, expelling a group of people from humanity itself. The drafters of the Universal Declaration, Eleanor Roosevelt in particular, who helped lead that effort, knew this. And they also knew that there's a myriad of ways that governments and society exclude people and reject the notion that they have equal worth and equal dignity. As Dr. King noted when he said that of all the forms of inequality, inequality in healthcare was the most shocking of all, a healthcare system that excludes and rejects people is a particularly brutal way of denying their equal worth and dignity, leaving them alone to get sick, leaving them alone when they are sick to die, potentially. A society's commitment to equality and human rights is reflected in how it organizes its healthcare system. What does a system look like that respects human dignity and freedom? Does it look like the walk-in clinics at Walmart with, quote, the best care money could buy, perhaps just a few miles away at a high-end specialized center? Is that what it looks like? Does it look like a society where we use that phrase, the best care money could buy, as if it were the most normal thing in the world to talk about healthcare in those terms? We can have a right, or we can have a commodity, but we cannot have both. We cannot expect a system that treats healthcare as a commodity to respect basic rights. That's where the debate is beginning. Our hope is that is not where it ends. Right now, our healthcare system commoditizes the provision of care. It buys and sells it. Insurance is not about income and risk solidarity, pooling all our resources to make sure that everyone gets the care they need. Not at all. It's about how many good risks can you get in a pool so you can make the highest amount of profit. That's what the private insurance industry is for. And you can't even fault them for structuring themselves that way. That's really their job, to ensure profit. Again, you cannot have a right and a commodity. We in the United States need to make a choice. What our coalition is going to be asking for is that we change the terms of the debate, that we start asking ourselves different questions when we really look at our policy choices. We have three big themes. Is the system we're trying to create universal? Does it include everyone? And everyone means everyone, not just citizens. Does it include a commitment that everyone has a right to health care, not just some ability to purchase a commodity? Is it equitable, or are we going to have tiers? Will some people continue to have the best care money could buy, while others get something at least? Or are we going to recognize that everyone has equal worth and needs equal care? Is our government going to be accountable? Because if we have a right, they need to be accountable. The government needs to be accountable. Is it going to be accountable to the fact that the system has to be centered on care and not other issues like profit? Are we going to have a way of ensuring, monitoring, remedying situations where people don't get access to care? Those are our three big themes. And we ask you to join us in demanding that the debate center on them and not on what kind of consumer products we can create out in the market. Because that's just fine for Fendi bags and certain kinds of shoes, but that is not okay for healthcare. As President Obama said when he was a candidate, healthcare is a right. Now we're going to be asking him to live up to that statement. Thank you.